Again, I welcome each one of you in the name of our Lord this evening and those who are live streaming. I'm thankful that you have that desire to come and hear the Word of God. I'm not going to say a long speech. I'm just going to be able to turn it over to our pastor. I'm excited to hear what he has to say tonight. So would you please pay attention and give your prayers to our brother, Gary.
Thank you, Gordon. I hope that you would have a long speech to say so I could say less. Just kidding. But a lot of times I use humor to cover my nervousness. I'm sure many of you are aware of that, but I am always nervous in the presence of our Lord. I always feel so unworthy to do His work and to be in a situation where I am where I'm at now in this part of my life. But I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful for all those that have the capability to be able to live stream. I know there's many out there that are having some issues physically, but also those that are isolated as well. It's great that we can have that technology to be able to reach out to the folks out there that desire to feast upon the word of the Lord. And so, you know, I wanted to start off tonight with just basically, I've been elected as your pastor for 6 months now. And that was a little goal of mine, to make sure that the church didn't burn down or nothing, you know, happened seriously. So I feel like I'm good and I can be done. Just kidding. But, you know, a lot of that is the trust that I put in the Lord. And what the Lord has been able to do with me is ability to be able to see what's going on in my own life and what's going on in my relationships with the congregation, with my brothers in the gospel, my sisters. And I'm really thankful for that, because I've seen in the last 6 months just the fellowship that I've had, discussions, the ability to be able to converse and to get to know people and to have an opportunity to be able to be a significant part of the gospel is such a blessing. And it's a blessing for me to be able to not only have this responsibility, but also to glorify God in doing so, because I know, again, in all my unworthiness and my lack of confidence and my nervousness and my humility, that the Lord's work is being done. The Lord's demonstrating His capabilities through each and every one of us, including myself. The sermon I have tonight, I really gave it some thought, because, you know, I know that I don't stand up here beaming in confidence, but I do know that the Lord is capable of accomplishing His will. And each and every one of us, including myself, have a significant part of that. I see things posted on Facebook. I pay more attention to each and every one of you, what's going on in your lives. I really appreciate that. You know, where you're at, what you're doing, and it's because I think I have a new level of this care for the body of Christ. And, you know, in all seriousness, being led by the Lord and thinking about those things that is important to Him, what's important to the body, which is important to our local, is my utmost priority. And I want the Lord to be able to work with me in my life. So a lot of times I feel vulnerable. A lot of times I feel that it's a challenge that is very difficult. And a lot of times I see things in place that could be frustrating. But one thing that I've learned in this whole scheme of things is to be able to have patience and to be able just to let things be absorbed and be able to process information and be able to take the time to counsel the Lord to see and to seek what's best for not myself, but for all of us as the body of Christ. Those are my desires, and the Lord proves Himself. The Lord proves Himself each and every time. And it's really neat to be able to see and to understand that, to be able to share that, to be able to hear testimonies, and to be able to be a part of a service that is still fruitful, that I could still see the Spirit of the Lord working with each and every one of us, how he touches our hearts and how he helps us be able to express those things in our lives that could be difficult for us, that could be difficult for someone else. That charity, that love that he bestows upon us, that we also bestow upon others, is it's a great thing to be a part of, and I'm truly blessed to be able to have the responsibility. It's a huge responsibility. The way that I go about doing things is a lot different in my life now. It's helped me in so many different ways. It's helped me become a better brother in the gospel, hopefully a better husband. I'm looking at you. Hopefully a better father, to be more understanding, to have greater patience, to have more temperance, to be more forbearing. I think those are the things that Christ came and set the example of doing for all of us. And I hope that every one of you have that same desire to be able to exercise those things in your life, to really be able to let the Spirit work with you and to help you with that. And so I wanted to talk about trust tonight, because I think that's one of the most important things. We recently had our marriage retreat, and by the way, I believe it's capable of people getting that as a resource to go through the PowerPoints. Is that? Yes, it is. So it was hard work and effort put in by many groups, and we put that together to be able to help anybody out there in their marriage, in a relationship that is godly, that is fruitful, that is capable of giving you different points of view, experience throughout many generations, to help you do those things that would be beneficial to your marriage and to your spiritual well-being. But in doing that, you know, one of the things I was thinking about was trust. You know, trust is such an important and intricate part of all of our relationships that we have with each other, with our family, with our friends, and especially with the Lord. If we didn't have that capability of having trust in the Lord, then we would be lost. And so I want to start off in reading in Proverbs chapter 3, and this was the crux of my sermon here. I'm going to read verses 5 through 10. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. That shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." And here, you know, I have a couple things highlighted here, you know, to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You know, if our hearts are given over to the Lord, you know, we're going to feel what's the word I'm looking for? I want to say that it's vulnerable, but we're going to feel in a sense of openness to the Lord. We're going to feel, it's hard to put into words, but it's a feeling that you get, that the Lord gives you, that helps you understand his love and his power and his authority and his strength and his Spirit. And if you have your heart open to him, he's going to show all these things unto you. He's going to give you understanding of what the true love of God is, what his love is all about. And if we go and through this world and we stick to our own understanding of how the way things should be, then we're going to be stuck in a rut. And there's this openness that we have to have with him. We have to be able to be open to him, to be able to receive these things, to be able to understand that he's working upon our hearts, that he's putting effort into us, that he's trying to build that relationship, that he wants to develop that with us, that he tells us here that if you give unto him the first fruits of all thine increase, our barns shall be filled with plenty, and our presses shall burst out with new wine. We're going to have an abundance of things. All those provisions that we need for life, the Lord's going to provide that for us through any time that we're going through. And I wanted to give a definition of trust. I looked it up on Merriam-Webster. It's assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone. One in which confidence is placed. Dependence on something future or contingent. It's a hope. And I hope that we have that confidence in the Lord, because I know that I was very incapable, and my confidence was very low about this position, the pastorship of this local. But, you know, the Lord shows us that we can do things, that we can accomplish things, that He can give us that strength, that He can give us the courage to be able to overcome. And it's because we have a hope. I have a hope that this church continues to grow. I have a hope for those that are struggling physically to be lifted up, to be able to be raised up, that they will feel the Lord's Spirit working within them, that they will know that the Lord is there, that they will begin to build that trust and knowing that the Lord will lead and direct them through all things. And when you do that and you give yourself to the Lord, He will He will give you that that ability to understand and to know that He is there with you. He will lift you up. So I have a couple examples here of not trusting someone. And I wanted to reach out to Asher there because there was a, and this is just, I'm kind of going with a little funny thing here. I really enjoy my brother-in-law. He's a fun person to be around, Adam. And, you know, there was a situation, I keep saying situation. I guess it's kind of going from nevertheless to situation. But I was visiting him over at, so all you know about that joke, I take it. Okay. Notwithstanding, is that yours, Gordon? But I was over at their house, Adam and Rebecca's, and my son Connor was over there, and Asher, and Adam had filled up a glass with Mountain Dew, and he said, "Who wants to have a Mountain Dew drinking contest?" And boy, those two boys were really excited, Asher and Connor. They raised their hands, they got over there, they were up on the counter, because it was Mountain Dew to them in their minds. And he said, "Okay, we're going to have a race who could drink it the fastest." And sure enough, man, they grabbed that glass and they started drinking it. And the look on their face was amazing. It was great when they realized it was pickle juice. So once they realized it was pickle juice, how did that, did you want to ever do that again there, Asher?
No,
it wasn't too pleasant, was it? So if your Uncle Gary or your dad said, "Hey, Asher, would you like to have a Mountain Dew drinking contest?" Your answer is going to be no. It's going to be no, because that little bit, an example of trust, kind of, hey, these guys are a couple jokesters, really isn't going to play out. They're wise to us, so that ain't going to work well with them. Well, I had another example here, and I love to embarrass people, so I'm going to embarrass my daughter on this one. We were actually at my brother's house yesterday, and, you know, probably all of us has been in this situation. You know, summer's here, it's starting to get nice out, the pool's ready to go, so they're all excited to go over there to my brother's house. Well, I'm a little bit reluctant because I dip my toe in the water and it's a little bit cold for me. And so I'm walking around the pool decking, and Brooke's telling me, "Well, there's nothing wrong with the water, it's nice, go ahead and get in." I said, "Well, I'm just taking my time, you know, I'm working myself up to it." And I happened to be, you know, the pool's right here, and I happened to be walking by the water, and I knew this was going to happen in my back of my head, and she's standing right here, and she tries to shove me in. And I was like, "No, that ain't going to happen." And so I know that all of us have probably been in that situation where, you know, that trust is now gone. I will never trust to walk next to my daughter by a pool again. Or carry my phone and say, "Hey, you better not do that. I got my phone in my hand." But, you know, these are levels of trust that we have. You know, those are all fun and games. But, you know, there's some seriousness to trust. You know, some of the things that can cause us to lose trust is, you know, breaking a promise. You know, we develop relationships with friends, with family, our parents, our loved ones, our brothers and sisters in the gospel. And if we break a promise that we said that we were going to keep, that can stop that trust from being there. You know, but one thing that we know is that the Lord makes a promise to each and every one of us, right? And many times in the gospel, the Lord tells us that there's this promise that He has, that He has given to us. You know, and if we abide by His commandments, we can spend eternity with Him in the kingdom of God. And so, you know, we have that trust in God and His promises, knowing that He's there to reassure us all the time that He has a promise for us. He has intentions for us. He has this all laid out for us, but we have to take the steps. We have to have our heart in the right place to be able to take that trust and to run with it. You know, trust even gets more serious. Adultery. We have situations where a spouse can be cheated on. You know, this covenant that we make, you know, with our spouse, if, you know, we go down this road, that trust is completely broken apart and shattered. And it takes time and it takes effort to rebuild that trust. But we know that trust is something that is vital to not only our spiritual walk, but also our personal relationships that we have with one another. So we have to take that with the utmost importance and to think about that and to make sure that our heart's in the right place and to not think about what our own understanding is of how things should be, but look at it from the Lord's point and what His understanding is and seek counsel from Him. I think it's important. A lot of times now, one of the things that I do in my mind as I process things is that I'll talk things out within my own mind. You know, I just know that if I answer myself, things are starting to get really weird. But I say the things that I want to say and see how they sound within myself before I speak that to somebody else. Because, you know, how somebody could receive the information that you're trying to give can, you know, have an effect on your relationship with them, can have an effect on how you communicate. People could take things in different ways. You could be trying to say something, but it comes across them completely different. So I've really been trying to exercise that, to be able to speak kindly, to be able to speak with the ability to show the charity that the Lord wants us to express. So how do we build the trust that we have? How do we start practicing these things? One of the first steps I have here is say what you are going to do and then do what you're going to say. So when we go and we start to build trust, we're starting to build that foundation up. You know, always follow through with those things that you say you're going to do and do what you're going to say. It's important to do that. It's important to do that in our counsel with the Lord. If the Lord gives us guidance and direction to do something, it's important that we follow through and that we do that. You know, we can see the story of Jonah. We can see examples in the gospel where, you know, the Lord has an expectation that, you know, if He gives us counsel, that this isn't just for the well-being of yourself, but this is for the well-being of others. So follow through with that. Build that trust. Have the Lord show you, experiment with Him, you know, of those things that you can change in your life and make a promise to Him. And let Him be able to show you that He could give you reassurance that you can accomplish that, what you set out to do, what you're going to say. Frequent and honest communication builds trust. So we have to have that line of communication open with the Lord. We have to have that honest communication open with the Lord. Our hearts have to be open. We have to be ready to be humble before Him, to be in humility in doing so, to have that broken heart, to have a contrite spirit, to pour our hearts out to Him. You know, whether it's in your car on the way to work, whether it's in your closet, whether it's next to your bedside, whether it's with your eyes closed at a break during work, you know, these times are crucial to our spiritual well-being and to our spiritual walk. Because, you know, I just don't get lifted up spiritually here. I hope that each and every one of you have times in your life throughout the week, throughout your daily activities, that you see those things that you've been praying about. You see the Lord's work at hand. You see the changes happening. You know, because in this day in which we live, we see changes happening every day. The majority of them aren't for the benefit of this church. You know, society today has changes happening day in and day in out. And it's becoming more and more difficult to be a Christian because persecution is becoming more and more prevalent in this day. And so in the day that we live, you know, I have a note here. Trust is built in one day, one interaction at a time, and yet it could be lost in a moment because of one poor decision. So make the right decisions. Make those decisions that are not only fruitful for you and for the Lord, but for those that are around you. Always do the right thing. We trust those who live, walk, and work with integrity. So integrity is an important part of that. And I looked that up as well. It's a firm adherence to a code of especially moral or artistic values. You know, that integrity. You know, I know a lot of us here have integrity. One of the first things that comes to mind about integrity and what is it, a good example is, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you used to be able to do a handshake on a deal and know that that was all that needed to be done. And is that still prevalent? Is that still something that we can have in confidence, knowing that a simple handshake is going to seal a deal? Is it going to be something that we need to sign documentation for? We have to get a lawyer, we have to get a notary, we have to do all these things nowadays just to be able to make sure that whatever it is we're trying to do, whatever we're trying to accomplish, is going to be by law capable of being done. Because of all the things that happen nowadays, all the difficult situations that people get themselves within with con artists, with people that are out to get someone else for their own personal gain. So integrity is such an important thing as a part of that trust. So I have a note here. When you don't do the right thing, you know, admit it. One of the things, that authenticity that we have, to be authentic and to understand that we're all human, that we make mistakes, it's important. I was just telling our Sunday school class today that there was a gentleman I worked with at Sanderson Ford, and I told him I'll never forget it. His name was Mike Brodowski. Isaac knows him. He was a really good guy, older gentleman. I looked up to him a lot as one of my peers. And, you know, he came up to me. I was having a difficult time. You know, I don't like to make mistakes. I really come down to myself pretty hard about those things. I like to try to be a perfectionist in a lot in all those things that I do, especially when it comes to working on vehicles that are other people's and that, you know, we're responsible for other people's safety, and how the vehicle operates is important. And so this gentleman, Mike Brodowski, came up to me and he said, you know, because I was giving myself a hard time about a mistake I made. I can't remember what it was, but he said, "Gary, you know, when you're trying hard, what happens?" And I said, "No, what's going on, Mike?" He said, "You're going to make a mistake. The important thing is that when you make that mistake, learn from it, understand it, know what you did wrong, so that way when you're moving forward, you won't go down that path again." You know, there's many paths in this life that we go down, that we can make a lot of mistakes doing. But we know that if we seek counsel from the Lord, as it says here in verse 6, that he shall direct thy paths. He's not going to continue to let us go down a path that's going to lead to utter destruction if our hearts are open to him. He's going to bring us back to the path. He's going to show us the way. But we have to have our heart in the right place. And so I wanted to read out of Alma, chapter 17. I'm going to read a couple verses there. And I didn't put the page numbers down. I apologize for that. I told Gordon when I was coming up here, usually I have my iPad and all that. I told him I'm going old school with this one. So I got everything printed out. So I'm going old school. And it's, let's see here, Alma 17. It's going to be verses 67 through 69. And that is on page, I'll just help you guys out here. 441, but I have it here on my paper, so I'm just going to read off my paper. It says, "Teach them to never be weary of good works, but to be meek and lowly in heart, for such shall find rest to their souls. Or remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, and cry unto God for all thy support. Yea, let all thy doings be unto the Lord, and whithersoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord." Go down the Lord's path. "Let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let the affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good." And so if we reach out to him, if we seek the Lord, he's going to help us understand what it is we need to do those right things. Sometimes it's very difficult, you know, with the frustrations that we have. Sometimes we want to lash out, but restrain yourself. Think about those things. Let those things be done unto the Lord. Let your thoughts be directed unto the Lord. And I put a note here. Some of us have not been raised in a church and didn't have the gospel taught to us. And that's where I said, teach them, learn wisdom in thy youth. And so I thought about that, that, you know, I wasn't in my youth when I found the Church of God and the Church of Christ. And, you know, this is something that can be difficult for other people because, you know, they got the old saying there that old dogs can't learn new tricks. But, you know, there's living proof right here. And I'm a pretty old dog now, pretty stinky too. But, you know, if we diligently seek him, he will enter into our lives and he will start showing us the way. And I think a lot of that is important for us to remember that we are the children of God. We are God's children, ever learning and probably and will be always making mistakes. But as a child, we look to the Father to be an example for us. And the Father has made a promise to us that he will show us the way, but we have to have that trust in him. And so I wanted to go to 1 Nephi chapter 3 and read a few verses there. I'm going to read 26 through 31, and that is on page... Oh, you got to be kidding me, is it? Chapter 3, verses 26 is on page 26. So that's going to be on page 26, 1 Nephi chapter 3. And it says, "And it came to pass that I, Nephi, was desirous also that I might see and hear and know of these things by the power of the Holy Ghost, which is the gift of God unto all those who diligently seek him, as well in times of old and in the times that he should manifest himself unto the children of men. For he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and the way is prepared for all men from the foundation of the world, if it so be that they repent and come unto him." And that's where, you know, we need to have that humble attitude. That's where our hearts have to be open. We have to understand that we are his children, that he is there, that he even has a desire for us to follow after him. And it says, "For he that diligently seeketh shall find, and the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto him by the power of the Holy Ghost, as well in time as in times of old, and as well in times of old as in times to come." So, you know, this something here that, you know, most of the people that are raised in the church, you know, even if we're introduced into the church at a later time, the Lord still gives us that gift of the Holy Ghost. He still has that Spirit of his to help us be able to understand, to help us be able to see those things and know that he is there, that he is with us, that he is by our side, that this gospel of his is to all those that come unto him. But that's what we have to do. We have to let him know, you know, on that personal relationship with him, that we need him in our lives and he will direct us for good. You know, one of the things I look at is, you know, these situations where the 12 disciples, you know, the Lord was telling them a couple things. We're going to read a few verses out of Matthew chapter 10. And I was reading through this and thought it would be a good example because I kind of try to put myself in their shoes. You know, it's a point where Christ is telling them to go unto the Gentiles, and he tells them that, you know, you're going to go do all these things. You're going to cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. And in Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 10, we're going to see, you know, what they were instructed to do by the Lord. It says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat." And so I put myself in their shoes, and I'm kind of thinking, wow, you know, usually when I go on a road trip or something, boy, there's a lot of stuff that goes along with us. You know, we got food, we got water, we got tools, we got all the provisions that we need just in case if something happens. You know, I want to make sure that we're going to be able to take care of ourselves. We got the phone chargers, we got two phones, everything's ready to go. But here, You know, these gentlemen, the 12 disciples, they had to put their trust in the Lord, knowing that, hey, I'm going to send you out. This is what I want you to bring, pretty much nothing. And you are going to be worthy of the meat that you're providing. And so in verses 16 through 20, it also says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You know, it could be very difficult going into situations where you know you're going to get persecuted, where you know that there's going to be trials and tribulations, difficulties, and to have that trust in the Lord and to be able to see and be a part of those things is something special. All of us see and participate in things that the Lord shows us. It's something special here too. We might not, each and every one of us, be going out to the world and doing these things, being in the midst of wolves, but we live in a society today that we need to be prepared. We need to trust in the Lord for that guidance, and we need to be seeking that counsel from Him. And it says in 17, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and you shall be brought before the governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. A lot of trust is developed there, especially when I know that those provisions that are necessary for your physical well-being, for your journey in life spiritually, that the Lord is there and He provides those things for you. That's something that nobody else can take away. To understand that sometimes we just gotta put our hands in put ourselves in the hands of the Lord is important, to let Him be able to work with us. And there's a lot of examples in the gospel. And so I started going down this road. Well, you know, I do trust in the Lord, but you know, what are some of the things that the Lord's gonna provide for me? You know, He tells the 12 disciples these things, but the living word of the gospel, there's many things in the gospel where the Lord tells us if we trust in Him that He will provide. And so I got a few here in Psalms 32 verse 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. So we receive mercy from the Lord. Very important to know that the Lord is merciful to each and every one of us. Psalms 37, verses 3 through 6. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. And I have here fed, you know, that could be spiritually and physically. It's important to remember that. The Lord will feed us. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. So those desires that we have in our heart, you know, we commit ourselves unto the Lord, and we have that trust. He will bring those things to pass. If it's for His will, if it's for our spiritual well-being, He's going to bring things to pass that we present before Him. And it says in verse 6, and He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. And so I really look at this, you know, this is something that's important in the dark day in which we live. You know, our righteousness as the light and our judgment as the noonday. How we go about judging others, you know, are we doing it according to, you know, what is good for spirit, our spiritual awareness, to have that discernment, to understand what is of the adversary and to understand what is that of the Lord, to have that discernment. So in Psalms 37, also in verses 39 and 40, it says, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. That strength that we need in difficult times. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. You know, and we've heard many examples of situations where the ministry has been protected in dangerous situations. You know, many times across the pulpit, I have heard that. I have a couple right here from the book of Samuel. I'm going to read that one first, and we actually talked about this in our Sunday school. and it was talked about at our sacrament service, and I believe that somebody actually gave a testimony about it too, and I really think that that's neat. And I'm going to start off, you know, this is David. He's getting ready or coming to see what's going on with the battle between the Philistines and Israel. And I'm going to read verse 42 real quick, then I'm going to jump back up. It says, "And when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, a ruddy and of fair countenance." And I was like, wow, what's ruddy mean? You know, I'm thinking pretty scrappy young. But it's having a healthy reddish color. You know, so some of these young men, you kind of see the flushness in their cheeks. The youth is there. I look at that. You know, they don't really have any brow furrows. They don't have crow's feet. They don't have smile lines. So I guess what I'm kind of getting at is he didn't look like me. But, you know, this is a young man. This is a young man that had experience in his life and that had trust in God. And it's really neat to see that. So I'm going to skip back up and read in verses. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32. And it says, "And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight the Philistines." So David, I believe, had confidence because of what transpired previously in his life. He had experiences to where he didn't have fear in this because he knew that the Lord was going to deliver him and help him be able to conquer Goliath. And so in verse 33, "And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and I smote him and I slew him. Thy servant slew, like I am with my words." I'm sorry. That's the nervousness coming out. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he hath defied the armies of the living God." And it says in verse 37, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with thee." So, you know, these experiences that David had in his life, you know, I can imagine a young man going to battle, and it would just be an awesome sight to see this young man with all of that strength from the Lord step up and without a doubt know that he was going to conquer this giant, this Philistine. And so these things that David experienced through his life was building up his trust. So that trust that he established, nobody else could break that trust. And that's what we have to know, is that nobody can break that trust in those promises that the Lord made to each and every one of us. Okay? And so there's a few more. So that was a little example. I'm going to go again back to Proverbs because I originally read this in my opening scripture. Verses 3, verses 5 and 6. This is another, I would say, blessing that we get when we put our trust in the Lord. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." So if you're feeling lost in life on those things of what you should be doing, how you should be doing it, it's just completely confusing to you, you know, acknowledge the Lord. You know, let him know, hey, Lord, here, I need your help, and I need your counsel, and he shall direct your paths. And then in Proverbs 28, verses 25 and 26, "He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat." And I said, well, wow, that kind of sounds unhealthy. But what I think, I went to 2 Nephi chapter 6 in verse 1 and 2. It says here, you know, if we're putting our trust in the Lord, you know, we're feasting upon his word. And in 2 Nephi chapter 6, verse 102, it says, and feast upon that which perisheth not, neither can be corrupted, and let your soul delight in fatness. You know, that's that spiritual nourishment that we receive from the Lord when we seek after His will. When we do those things that can't be corrupted, we will be given that nutrition, that health, to be able to be strong, to be able to overcome. And in verse 26, it says again here, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." You know, and again, the opening scripture in Proverbs, the seventh one is, "Be not wise in thine own eyes." So if we're walking wisely, you know, we're counseling the Lord, we're seeking after His advice, we're letting Him help in us make the right decision, we're letting His Spirit work with us, okay? So in Proverbs 29:25, it says, "The fear of a man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." He'll make sure that He takes care of us. A lot of times when we pray, we ask the Lord to hold us in the hollow of His hand. It's because we want to feel safe in knowing that the Lord is with us, that all these fiery darts, all these things that happen to us in life, that the Lord is shielding us, that He's using His people as instruments in His hand to help us be safe, you know, keeping us from danger. You know, if I was walking next to the pool and it wasn't a pool and it was a fiery pit, my daughter wouldn't probably try to push me in. Well, maybe then again she might, but you know, she'd be telling me, "Dad, be careful of that. Use caution. That is very dangerous." So, you know, those are the things that we need to understand as brothers and sisters, is that the Lord has this body of Christ to help us to stay out of harm's way, to stay away from danger. But we have to adhere to His word. We have to adhere to the cries of others to help us understand that there's danger out there and not to deal with it, because we could find ourselves going down the wrong path. And in Jeremiah 17, verse 7, it says, "Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Blessed is the man." So a lot of blessings you receive with that. But we need to understand that problems are always going to be there. Exclamation point. You know, a lot of times, day by day, you know, you feel like you accomplished something and three bad things happen to you. You know, they say bad things happen in threes. But, you know, we need to understand that Satan is always trying to undermine your trust in the Lord. He's trying to fool you. He's trying to confuse you, distract you. He's trying to pull you away from God. And if we have that established trust in the Lord, you know, this is what's going to give us the discernment to make the right decisions so we don't fall into that trap. And I have an example here in Job. I'm going to just read a couple verses here in verses 1 through 3. And, you know, we read in 1 Peter first, however that sounds to you. 1 Peter chapter 5, you know, this is a very familiar verse, verse 8. Peter 5, verse 8. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." I was like, okay, well, you know, we know that Satan is out there. Day by day, we got to be careful of who we're dealing with, how we're dealing with them, because Satan's ready there to devour us, to tear us apart. And it says in Job verses 2, verses 1 through 3, I'm going to prove this again. It says, "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." So that tells me that, you know, even in times past, Satan was doing his thing. He was up to no good. You know, we know all the trials that Job went through, but we know that Job, he had that trust in the Lord. And it says in verse 3, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity." And that's what we talked about, integrity, at the beginning of the sermon here. Oh, it's in the beginning. Here it is. that adherence to a code of especially moral and artistic values, but this is the integrity of his spiritual walk and integrity to the Lord. He had all the trust in the Lord. And it says, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And so we know that story of Job and all the trials he went through, and he held fast with that trust that he had in God. And so, you know, there's plenty of things here in the gospel that help us in our spiritual walk, whether we just entered the chapel doors a week ago, a day ago, whether it's the first time we're viewing, you know, all this stuff is important for our spiritual well-being. You know, these are things that we need to understand, to apply to our lives, to help us be able to know that through all things that there is so many opportunities for us to see the Lord working with us in our lives if we put our trust in Him. And it says in Isaiah chapter 26, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. I love that. I love that verse there because it's everlasting. So one of the things I think of when I hear the word everlasting is the Energizer Bunny. Some of the old commercials where the bunny just keeps going and going. It went on for years and years. But we know that that strength, that everlasting strength, is something that only the Lord can give. I've been frequently going to the gym, and I can tell you my strength lasts for about 30 to 45 minutes, and it's done. And to know this, you know, in all of our battles, whether they're mental, physical, spiritual, that the Lord will help us be more than conquerors. That's a verse that I read Wednesday night. We will be more than conquerors. And I hope that we do that to glorify the Lord, to let Him know that, you know, we are in this battle, but we're fighting for Him, to glorify Him, because we have that love in our heart, because we have the ability and the capability because of Him. He gives us that strength. I want you to know that. So some of the things that we have, when we I just put a few down here. Some of the things that we have when we put our trust in the Lord is, you know, we have that eternal promise. We have total forgiveness. We have a peace with God. And we have that Spirit of God to dwell with us. We have all these things. The Lord provides those things for us. Those are the important provisions that we have to have and understand and know in our lives that the Lord is there giving us freely. You know, we don't go to Walmart to buy these things. These are things that are given to us freely. But we have to build that trust in Him. We have to know that He is there to help us have that strength to overcome. And so Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Please do that. Please take the time and to understand that this is not a routine. I just don't print these out off the internet. This is an effort that I put because I believe and I know and I trust in the Lord that He has a message for you and that He wants this to be something that goes out to you so you can feel reassured in any struggle that you're having. So trust in the Lord for that. And it says in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus, our Savior. So I thank you for your time. And remember, you know, having your heart in the right place is so important. And it helps you so much in your spiritual walk. So may God bless each and every one of you. I thank you for your time. And I think I got another 6 months to go. Just kidding. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you, Brother Pastor. I think most pastors serve like 3 years or more, right, Jimmy? So you got 2.5 years, guru.